speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, our Lord said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Jesus knew full well that some would be ashamed of him. Are men ashamed of Christ? The Apostle Peter was. He denied Christ three times, Matthew 26, verse 72, verse 74, verse 76. This shameful incident in Peter's life brought tears, and it brought him much heartache. And Jesus brought it up after the resurrection in John 21, verse 15 through verse 17, where he asked Peter three times if he loved him, and then he commissioned him to feed the sheep, to take care of his lambs. But in what way are people ashamed of Christ? Well, one, there are some who are ashamed of the person of Christ. Why? Why be ashamed of one described in Hebrews 7, verse 26 as holy, as being harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens? And yet many want nothing to do with Christ because they're unholy, they're violent, they're defiled, they're friends of sinners, and because they're sunk so deep into the mire of sin and are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ is the most important being to ever set foot upon the earth, and he simply must not be ignored. You cannot ignore sinless perfection, and that's what he's pictured as in John 8, verse 46. He was the loveliest and the most unselfish being that ever lived. He could not bake a piece of bread so large as his finger to appease his own hunger, but he made enough bread to feed 5,000. He could not cook one fish on the shore of the Sea of Galilee to feed his own hunger, but he filled the net of the disciples until the net broke. And with so much sorrow of his own, as Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 53, he might have cried all of his lifetime. Yet he cannot see a funeral pass without breaking it up, without restoring a dead son to a widowed mother. He gave sight to the blind. He opened the ears of the deaf. He healed the halt, the lame, the crippled. And then one day the wing of God's anger shut out the sun. He died for you and he died for me. Not lying on a hospital bed, not sitting in a comfortable chair, but on that old rugged cross, on that cursed tree, dying at 12 o'clock, still dying at 12:30, dying at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, at 1:30, dying at 2, dying at 2:30. Who had he killed? Why should they crucify him? Who had he stabbed that they should stab him? Who had he hurt that they should hurt him? Of what crime had he been guilty? Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." John 18:38. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ was and is the grandest, the gentlest, the most self-sacrificing person to ever come to this planet. Yet millions are ashamed of him. They want nothing to do with him. It only shows the awful, awesome power of sin and Satan at work in the human heart. And my friends, the history of this world is but the history of his influence. History is his story. But as we think about being ashamed of Christ, sadly, many are ashamed of the cross of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Gentiles a stumbling block, unto the Gentiles foolishness." The death of the Messiah, or God, is embarrassing to millions. It's inconceivable to much of humanity. And rather than being ashamed of the cross, we, like Paul, should glory in the cross. He said in Galatians 6, "God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The preaching of the cross to us who are saved is the power of God. The cross, rather than a sign of weakness, is a sign of wisdom and the power of God. And friends, tongue cannot tell, throat cannot sing, hand cannot paint the tragedy which was enacted upon that skull-shaped hill called Golgotha. The wail of the icy wind that howled through the frozen north, or shrank the heart of despair from a mother watching wild beasts tear at the throat of her baby, capture the hopeless groans and the helpless shrieks of the damned, and with all this, you would still be unable to paint the picture that is Calvary. Ashamed of the cross, how could it be? And then thirdly, many are ashamed of the blood of the cross. Many want the word blood removed from all song books, and they have so enacted in some churches. They want blood removed from sermons. For you see, blood is repulsive. Blood is crude to the minds of millions. Yet the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1 verse 19 speaks of the precious blood of Christ. Why is it precious? Because it can do what nothing else in all the world can do. One may receive a blood transfusion and have his life extended, but the blood of Christ can wash away our sins that we might have life everlasting. It can cleanse us from all iniquity, 1 John 1, verse 7. It can cleanse our conscience, we learn in Hebrews 9, verse 14. The blood of bulls and of goats cannot do this. And without the shedding of blood, Christ's blood that is, there can be no remission of sins, Hebrews 9, verse 22. Christ shed His blood for the remission of sins, Matthew 26, verse 28. And we come in contact with that precious blood when we repent and confess the sweet name of Jesus and are baptized into His death where He shed His blood, Romans 6, verse 3. When we're baptized into Christ, we contact the cleansing blood. And that's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:38, and what Christ had commanded when He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." When King Edward VIII was the Prince of Wales, he went to visit a country nobleman. The nobleman's daughter climbed up on his knee and charmed the prince with her winning ways. After a few moments, with childlike innocence, she asked him, "Do you like to make guesses?" "Well, yes," he said with a smile. The little girl said, "Please, sir, can you tell me what is whiter than snow?" Well, Prince Edward, who became King Edward VII, looked rather confused, and finally he gave up. And then the little girl said with a smile, "Mr. Prince, every soul washed in Jesus' blood should know that he has been made whiter than snow." Scientists have discovered that each snowflake contains a speck of dust. Snow is white, but it isn't pure. Jesus can take a scarlet sinner and make them whiter than snow, we're told in Isaiah 1, verse 18. The word scarlet in this verse means double dipped. We're talking here about the vilest of sinners, like Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, the one who compelled people to blaspheme. Yet he was told by Ananias, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22, verse 16. And then fourthly, many are ashamed not only of the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, but some are evidently ashamed of the name of Christ. Many people are actually embarrassed when you ask if they are Christians. They act as if they're insulted when you associate the name Christ with them. His precious name is indeed just that. A woman named Annie Askew went from her home to prison, from prison to the rack, from the rack to the stake, and while burning at the stake, She was asked to surrender her faith in Christ. She said, "No, I did not come here to deny my Lord." Jerome of Prague said while burning at the stake, "O Christ, my body on the fire I give to Thee." And for His name's sake, two women were stripped of their clothes. They were gored to death by cattle while the mob clapped their hands. For His name's sake, people were dabbed with pitch and they were set on fire to light up mansions and palaces and light the streets of Rome. They were devoured by dogs or lions for the name of Christ. They were sewn up in bags with reptiles for the precious name of our Redeemer. And yet here, O heaven and earth and hell, there are people who cannot afford to be laughed at. These saints went through all kinds of torment on earth. And there are those today who cannot afford to have the finger of scorn pointed at them. Ashamed of the name of Christ. How sad. And yet Peter said, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." That name, Christian. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11, verse 26. And even a Roman king knew that if one obeyed the gospel, he would become a Christian. For he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Acts 26, verse 28. James informs us in James 2, verse 7, that the name Christian is a worthy name. And yet, sadly, some are ashamed of the name Christian. When you ask them what they are religiously, they'll tell you what kind of denominational person they are, and they'll name their denomination. These names and others like them are not biblical. They do not give honor and glory to Christ. You cannot say the word Christian without saying Christ. And all that we do is to be done in His name, Colossians 3, verse 17. All that we do is to glorify God, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And Jesus has a name that is above every name. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2, verse 9 and 10. And then lastly, as we think about being ashamed of Christ, some are ashamed of the friends of Christ. He said in John 15, 13 and 14, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do that which I command you." Christ's friends, you see, make up His church. And some are ashamed of the church. They're ashamed of the church that Christ built, indeed He did, in Matthew 16, 18. I know that they are because they have chosen to be members of a human denomination. Millions show their contempt for Christ's church by denying what the Bible very plainly teaches. And if you're ashamed of Christ's church and what it teaches, then you're ashamed of Christ, for He built the church. He bought it with His blood. He's its foundation, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. He's the chief cornerstone. He is the head. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of His name, of His blood, of His gospel, of His church. But boldly confess that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Turn away from your sins and repentance. Confess His name. Be buried with Him in baptism. And then uphold the glorious name of Christ as you live for Him. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.